Hi, and welcome to the penultimate episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on season 4, episode 15, The Night Moves.
I don't want to make you sad, but that's the last time you're going to say that.
I know.
Because I get the final one because it's an even number.
Oh, man. Yeah, how do you feel? By the way, I'm all sorts of emotional.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Somebody posted something the other day and I got super emotional.
What, was it you? Because that made me super emotional.
Maybe.
Your Insta post.
Oh, yeah, maybe that was what it was. And then somebody was like, oh, it's the end of an era. And I was like, oh, my God, it is the end
of an era.
Oh, man.
Right, we've got two to go. We're good. We can do this. Yes,
we can. Before we get into this week's episode, probably good to have a trigger warning about baby loss. That's important. Anything else?
It's Friday night and I'm on the wine and Heather's on the cider, so who knows how crazy it could get.
Yeah. So if conversations around pregnancy loss and chaotic energy is not for you today, I was going to say head to another one of our episodes, but it's chaotic energy in most of our episodes. I guess now is a good time to talk about what we're going to do next, right?
Yep. Would you like to take it away?
I guess so. I haven't written anything down, so we're just
okay.
We're going to freewheel this. So the end is not the end.
No, it's not.
The end is close, but it's not the end. We have decided for roughly 6 months, we are going to do one episode a month, still about the OC, but doing a bit of a deep dive, getting a bit artsy, getting a bit chin-strokey, fighting out some important things, like which episode of the OC's Christmas Cut episodes is the best Christmas Cut episode.
We always find that, as you know, sometimes we really digress during episodes, and there's a lot of stuff that we'd like to spend more time on. We get a lot of great stuff in the DMs as well from you guys, so it would be nice to actually take the time to really, like Heather says, dive deep into some of those and give them the time that they deserve, really. So yeah, we're quite buzzing for it.
I am excited about it. I know a lot of people will be sad that we won't be in their ears every week, but you know, I think we need a little break. We've been doing this for, it would be like 2.5 years almost.
Well, not for me, but for you.
And where we've been doing it every week. So yeah, we're going to take a 6 month, once a month hiatus. It's not really a hiatus because we'll still
be on the socials, etc. Exactly. But I know myself, again, we watch an episode every week, we come and record it, and it does take a few hours out your week, but it's great. But Heather, on the other hand, she does all the editing while holding down a very busy, stressful job and planning a wedding. So we need to give Heather a wee bit of leeway in the lead up to her big day.
Yeah, that one of many, hopefully, big days, but, you know,
that big day.
And it means that, you know, post big day, we can come back fit and fit, stronger than ever, with a whole new series, which we will update you on nearer the time. We're just going to keep you in suspense, like the dirty, dirty teases we are.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. Anything else? Anything we need to...
Nope, I think we dive right in with last time on the OC. There's a little baby cohen on the way. Kirsten's up the duff. Meanwhile, Seth is very just disengaged, a bit disenfranchised with life and sort of thinking, right, where's your passion? Where do you get your satisfaction from? And there was a suggestion of him becoming a movie critic because he's just always criticising everything. Julie has dumped Frank.
Well, she's not dumped him, but they're taking it slow.
They're taking it slow. Ryan and Taylor are going to Berkeley together. And then there was an earthquake.
Big, massive earthquake.
Yeah.
And this is probably quite important for the start of the episode. Mm-hmm. So when the earthquake happened, pregnant Kirsten and Sandy were outside the mall.
We actually get a name for it in this. They call it the Plaza.
The Plaza? I didn't even pick up on
that. Yeah, that's what they're calling that area. Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, oh, noted.
Julie and Caitlin are in the ice cream shop. Seth and Summer were driving to go and pick up a video, a vintage or what, right? So they were out driving. And then Ryan and Taylor were in her room And where we left it was Seth and Summer had a real near miss with a lamppost falling on Ryan's car. Poor Ryan's car has a real rough time of it.
Yeah, it really does.
And then the cabinet fell on Ryan and Taylor.
And we pick up basically where we ended, don't we? So we've got Taylor and Ryan who are trying to get out from under a dresser, but they both seem to be okay. And Taylor is, you think she'd be quite good in a crisis, but she's absolutely floundering, isn't she? She's really freaked out and she's like, oh, Grace under fire is like so important. And then she's just like, oh, is that blood? Oh no, it's only glitter. And she's just totally like losing her shit.
I find this very funny because I am one of these people who is quite good in a situation, like in bad situations. Like I'm good with first aid. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got this stuff down. See, when it's on some, like if it's somebody I don't know or somebody I don't know that well, it's 100% fine. Like it's just like, sure, mm-hmm. cool, let's get on with it. For the first time in my adult life, I had to do first aid on Ali, who's probably the first like adult properly that I've had to do first aid on. And he came in and he'd like trapped his hand in a door and taken off his nail. So it was obviously just like pissing with blood.
Ouch.
Absolutely pissing with blood. And like, it was fine. I was like, I know what to do. I know what we need to do, blah, 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 blah. And like, I was like, can you just go through to the living room, sit down, I'll bring everything to you. Because if you pass out, there's quite a long way to go and I am too short to support that situation. So I was like, you go sit down, I'll bring everything I need to bring to you. And for the first time in my life, in any kind of like stress orientated situation, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to pass out. Oh my God, I'm going to pass out. And ended up like I was in the kitchen on my hands and knees just being like, now is not the time.
Oh no.
It's like, this is the last thing we need. Ali's hand is like absolutely covered in blood. And then I'm on the floor just like, right, come on, pull yourself together, woman. Okay, so I feel Taylor here. It's much more stressful it's someone you know.
Yeah, I actually had a similar situation last night when I was going to my mum's for dinner. Both my grands were coming. I was supposed to pick my gran up. My brother was like, I'll get her instead because I'm going to visit her anyway. James's car pulls out in front of mine. He's getting my gran out of the car. Turn the engine off, look up, and my gran's like on the ground.
Oh my God.
Tripped. Yeah, she'd like tripped, smacked her head.
Oh my God.
So James and I were like, fuck, got her up, blood everywhere. Like get her into the living room. And then my mum and dad, and we're all like, get an ice pack. And then my mum's like, oh, but I don't know what to do. Like, do I phone? Like 111. She was like, my mum's like, I'm just going to phone 911. And I'm like, what, are we in America? Like, no. And she's like, no. She's like, I don't know what to do. And then we're like, can you go to A&E? Like, what are the COVID restrictions? You know, it was just, and it's like, why are we floundering? Like, over, see if this was something you witnessed in the street, you'd know exactly what to do. But like
it
you
sounds
say,
like it's in a, it's, ah. You sound like you're in like a comedy sketch. That's what it sounds like. Was your nana all right? Like, was she okay?
Yeah, she's okay. Although she did go to like A&E and sat for 3.5 hours. And then they said it was going to be another 4 hours. So she basically had to go home and go back this morning, but thankfully our neighbour was like an ex-paramedic, so he'd come in and dressed it. And
yeah,
but you're just like, oh, and like my brother and I today are both like, oh my God, we're like so drained. That was so stressful.
It is.
And I got blood on my new cashmere coat.
What a catastrophe.
But it's like that way as well. Like I'm holding the ice pack and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to faint. But like I think it's when it's someone that's you're close, you know, it's just a thought of like your grand being so vulnerable as well. I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, can understand Taylor.
Yeah, everyone should get basic first aid training if you can. Would recommend, because it means in these situations all you're worried about is whether you phone 911 or 111. You know what to do physically in the moment, so that's good.
Yeah,
the answer is call 111 first if they're still breathing
first. Yeah, that's what we ended up doing.
Not breathing 999, breathing 111.
Yeah. But I don't know what 911 would get you in the UK.
Some American picks up like, hello.
Or like, do you remember that? Were they not a band?
911, they were.
That was the first gig I ever went to and I was about 13 at the SACC.
That was peak.
Private number.
Peak naughty. Was that late 90s? That we must have been really young. Yeah, that must have been,
I was high school. I'm talking like maybe 1999.
Oh, so wee.
2000.
So wee.
Gosh, right. This is probably the biggest tangent we've gone on in the first scene, and that's something for us.
Yeah, let's get back on track. Anyway, Taylor is waffling away, apologising, scared of blood, all that jazz. But then Ryan kind of looks a bit shifty and he's like, oh, I really need to go and try phone Kirsten and Sandy. Understandable, there's just been an earthquake. But he goes out to the hallway and it turns out he's bleeding quite profusely. So he's off to try and get signal and get some help.
And then we cut to the plaza. Police are reporting from the plaza. There's been no fatalities, but no one should leave the plaza, and that's where we find out what the name is. But Sandy is absolutely running the show.
Yeah, he's smashing it. He knows what to do. Mm-hmm. He would know what number to call. He's got it.
What a guy in a crisis. And Kirsten's just sort of sitting, like, looking quite serene on a bench in the middle of all the chaos. But she can't reach the boys. And then we find out that she's also had a bump in the head, but she feels all right. Ryan calls to say, do you know what he does as well? He calls and he's like, oh, I'm at the Coopers. And I'm like, it's not the Coopers.
It's not the Coopers. I wrote this down later for when
this
he
comes
said.
Up later
I
as
was
well.
Like, this is 100% Summer's house.
It's so weird. And then Seth calls and tells them that the car's wrecked, but again, they're okay. So they've all sort of touched base with each other.
Yeah. Do you know what I noticed when Sandy was talking to the bookshop lady and she was really, really worried about looters? See, if there was a natural disaster, I think looters would be like one of the last things I thought about.
Last things, yeah.
Rich people, so man. Much. So much distrust.
What they like. But then Seth gets a text from Ryan and it's like, need your help. Please come to Cooper's. I'm like, again, Roberts, don't tell Summer. And yeah, this is where I've written in like block capitals. It's her house.
It's her. And it's been her house since he was like a kid. Like, she's lived there their whole weird thoughts.
Yeah.
I did enjoy a real throwback to like, need your help, YR. Mm-hmm. Please, PLS, please come to the Coopers.
This text message costs 10p and if you go over the characters it will then cost 20.
Yes, precisely. And you've only topped up £5.
Yep. Oh god, remember topping up your little BT sale net.
Stressful.
The Nokias? Oh.
No, that's a time I do not want to ever remember ever again. It was too much.
We then go to the opening credits. And what did you think of all the little fades here? It was like basically after all the commercial breaks, you'd see where everyone...
Oh yeah, a little montage.
But like just for a few seconds and there wasn't any dialogue or that, but just sort of fade in. So as if it was to... I love this. It's as if they're like trying to remind us exactly what's happening. And we're like, this is a very intense episode. We know what's going on. Like, you don't need to remind us every 15 minutes.
But then it's the same, you know, when you're watching stuff like Married at First Sight or like...
No.
Well, shows like that, every ad break you come back from, they're like, they'll like set it all up again. And you're just like, I get it. Sometimes people will have just started at 15 minutes or whatever. But then you're also just like... I have actually been watching it from the start. Like, I know what's happening. Maybe it's that kind of same vibe. Maybe. I didn't love it. That's the only time I've written it down. The rest of the time, I just pretended like it didn't happen.
Yeah. Basically, Julie's with Caitlin at the ice cream shop. Sandy and Kirsten at the plaza. Ryan's with Taylor at the Roberts residence. And Seth and Summer are on a bike. And I think originally they were heading to the Cone household. But now there's been a change of plan and Seth is saying, look, we should go to the Coopers, Summer's house.
Your house, Summer. And we should go to your house, Summer.
So that we should all be together. And he's like, Sandy says we should be. And Summer's like, look, that's a bad idea. It's ages away. I want to go to yours. And then Seth's like, oh, but we should like go to yours and check on pancakes. And just uses that as an excuse. And then Summer's like, oh, fuck. And she wants to pedal.
Yeah, she's like, I'll pedal faster. I don't think I have ever been able to sit on a bike like that with someone ever. We would always do like backies, like where you would sit, like, so I would sit on the seat and then the person in front of me would like stand and pedal. This is a whole new world.
Yeah, American TV made you think that it always looked really cool as well and it'd be really easy. It's really not.
Are
it's
you
quite dangerous
in
as well.
A sweet bag over there? What is going on?
Yeah, sorry. God damn it. Yeah, just having some calling caterpillars.
I was like, what is that? No, is there an earthquake in Glasgow? What is going on?
Oh, that'd be just a thing, an earthquake during COP.
Oh, I know. How long have you got left of that?
Oh, another week.
The environment is important and people should talk about it, but Jesus Christ. Glasgow is a small city.
It's been insane. But anyway, we cut to Caitlin and Julie at the ice cream store and she's like frantically calling Frank. And Caitlin's like, what are you up to? Like, why'd you keep calling him? Jilly's like, well, obviously I care about him, despite the fact that we're taking things slowly. And they're stuck in the ice cream store with a sort of like geeky ice cream guy who...
Gary.
we come to know as Gary. Yep.
Has anyone in the last 10 years been named Gary? Gary is the name.
Know a few Garys, but.
Yeah, it's like a, Gary is a 38-year-old single man who works in IT.
Oh man, that's a bit harsh. I know a few nice Garys. I'm not saying the guy, the single Gary, 38-year-old in IT, isn't, but yeah, it's
I mean,
not,
you put those presumptions on Gary and IT yourself, Jane. I said nothing. Poor Gary.
Yeah, it's not, I wouldn't say, I don't imagine many kids will be called Gary. But it could be one of those ones, 20 years' time. They're like, oh, the way like kind of old-fashioned names are in fashion just now. Maybe Gary will come back around.
Here's hope. So here's to the Garys of this world.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gary reports back that there's no way to get out, that they are stuck there. And Julie says the almighty words, which we should all live by, we can't just sit here waiting to be rescued.
Yeah.
We can't, awesome. Julie. We must take action. Mm-mm. Classic Julie Cooper right there.
Yeah. We also get a little inclination here that Gary's quite in awe of Caitlin. He knows her ice cream order. And yeah, so that's where they're at.
And Julie's sending him up to the roof to investigate what's going on.
Yeah. Have a switch.
Also classic Julie.
Yeah. Taylor, on the other hand, is getting her survival kit out. Yeah, she's just totally flapping. Ryan's got a jacket on. She's like, oh, why are you wearing your jacket? Are you cold? And then on the radio, they hear of the first fatality. It's been an accident. A pedestrian's been hit. And then Taylor starts thinking about, where's my mum right now? Yeah. I've not had any call from her. She's like, she's got brittle bones. She's afraid of the dark. And Ryan's like, look, you can't go out and look for her. It's too dangerous. And anyway, Seth and Summer are coming here.
Yeah, 100%. It's interesting that the people who it's convenient for the story can get signal and call their family. But yeah. Taylor can't call her mum. Weird.
Yeah, so Sandy's running the show at the Plaza.
He is.
Isn't he? Like, what a guy.
I love the fact that's what I've just written. Sandy's leading the mall gang. Descriptive. But
it's the Plaza now, Heather.
he's done a big Sandy speech. You know, they've got nachos and salsa. They're going to be fine. Kirsten is handing out the blankets. And it's at this point that Frank calls Sandy. And he realises that no one's heard from Julie. No one's got in touch with Julie. They don't know what's happening with her. Did you notice that Sandy doesn't seem to give a shiny fuck? He's like, cool, okay, whatever.
Yeah, like, all right, cool.
Whereas Frank is concerned.
Yeah. Sandy's probably like, that woman's got 9 lives, pal. Like, she always she comes back from anything. Yeah. Yes, we then cut to the ice cream shop and Gary's on the lookout and he's like, oh, guys, we're on an island all alone. And they're just like, look, this isn't the time for existential metaphors. And he's like, no, literally, the pier has been washed away. Like,
yeah. They're on an island all on their own.
Yeah.
I was like, man. So we watched Jaws quite recently and I was maybe me of 4 weeks ago would have been like, yeah, it can't have washed out that much. You 100% could swim back. Me this week, I'm like, nah, do not get in the water. Oh. Don't get in the water.
But yeah, Summer and Seth eventually arrive at Summer's house. Mm-hmm. And
I love the fact we're just correcting that. Yeah, it's not the Coopers, like,
it's
Summer's
Robert's
house.
Residence, yeah. And basically Taylor and Summer are like, right, we need to go and look for pancakes. But at the same time, Seth and Ryan are like, oh, we're away out for supplies. And they're just like, what? Why are you going out into that? And they're like, look, just lock the doors. Pancake needs you. And yeah, they're like, sort of suspect, as if they're acting weird. They're hiding something. But they're also more concerned about pancakes being missing.
Yeah, because they go upstairs and she's not in her, Pancakes is a he, isn't in his wee cage. He's broken out because of the, oh God, imagine. Do you know the thing is, I sometimes think this, it's the same with like wisdom teeth. When something bad is happening or something scary is happening or something sore is happening and you're a fully functioning adult who like understands the situation and can logically be like, oh, I am in a lot of pain because my wisdom teeth are coming in. That is why this is bad. Imagine you're a tiny baby and you have no concept of what's going on. You just have this pain and you're like, what the fuck? Yeah. Imagine being a rabbit when there's an earthquake. You would literally just be like, what the fuck? What is happening?
Right, that's this week's soundbite, Heather. Imagine being a rabbit in an earthquake.
It's a poignant thought, really. What was one I clipped?
You're a rabbit in an earthquake.
When I was editing last week's episode, I sent Jane a clip of me just saying to her, what, are you not into clown porn?
No, Heather.
Funny.
Love it. I did actually, Cheryl, lovely listener, message saying, I've not listened to this week's episode yet, but I'm really interested to hear your takes on clown porn. And I was like, you can probably guess exactly what they're going to be.
Oh, funny. Oh man.
On the get, funny. That comes up again, but we'll hear it down the
line.
Yeah, Ryan and Seth are outside, and Ryan shows Seth his war wound and basically has like a massive shard of glass in his side. It looks very painful.
He does. He does. I love the fact that he's like, right, don't freak out. Okay, I need you to not freak out. And Seth's like, why would I freak out? And then the second that Ryan shows him the chunk of glass in his back, he's like, I think Ryan is muttering like, it's not that bad, right? Seth is just like, dude, it's bad.
Bad. Yeah, have you watched Squid Game?
Oh my God, yes.
Yes, this is, I keep mixing up, like, see, actual thinking about Ryan having the shard of glass in him, I keep mixing it up with...
When the girl...
Yeah. No, that's spoilers, what I keep seeing. Yeah, no spoilers, but that's what I keep, like, I think both injuries in my head are just, like...
Very similar injuries, to be fair.
But yeah, then we cut to these fades again. So, Sandy and Kirsten, Julie, Caitlin and Gary, Summer and Taylor, and then we've got Ryan and Seth in the car trying to get to the hospital, but they're getting lost on the way, and Ryan's got this big giant glass spear in him. And
do you remember there's a nice big sign as well for the Balboa Wetlands, remember them?
Yeah,
back in like, what was that, season one?
One,
yeah, when Caleb's trying to buy them.
That's right, yeah.
Ah, oh, the good old days, season one.
But yeah, they're sort of trying to keep his mind off the pain, and then they end up, they think they hit something, don't they? And they get a flat, of course they do.
I find this so frustrating, like how unbelievably shit Seth is. Like, he's just like, I know he's meant to be like 18 years old, but like, he's just such a young 18 year old. He reminds me of like my friends' boyfriends who are like in their 30s and they still act like they're a child and they can't do anything for themselves. Yeah, they're just, it's just an adult baby. Seth is acting like an adult baby. Yeah. He's like, oh my God, like, you know, you're not looking too good. We need to think about my pain because you're not looking too good. And I don't know what to do. Me. You don't have a fucking shard of glass in your back, Seth.
Yeah, you just got to like step up, and he's not doing it.
He really isn't.
And yeah, then we've got, for some comic relief, we cut to Caitlin and Julie singing karaoke into ice cream cones.
And it's cute.
They've got an ice cream cake lit. And yeah, Gary's just been a bit of annoying and clapping and looks like he's having the time of his life.
Yeah, but this is cute because like we find out that Julie used to sing it to Caitlin when she was wee and when she was scared. It's super cute.
Yeah, and he's like, is that not quite inappropriate? Like, there's lots, that song's got like lots of sexual content. And they're just like, shut up, it's the only one I knew the words to, type thing.
I think there's a lot about Spice Girls, Two Become One. Lyrically, that is filthy.
Yeah.
And I knew that song word perfect at the age of, what, like 9?
Yeah. We just didn't think anything of it. It was just the words to a really good shit.
Precisely.
Gary's basically having the time of his life. He compares it to summer camp with two really hot counsellors. And then he starts sort of giving them this chat that like, there's this girl that I really like, but she'd never go out with me. And then they're a bit like, oh, I've not got anything better to do, let's do it. And they're going to give Gary a makeover.
Yep, classic. She's All That, the classic makeover film. Very similar.
Yeah, so then we've got Seth on the phone still with no signal. And Ryan's trying to talk him through changing a tire, and even then it's like, oh, the jack is that then? It's like, oh, come on, Seth, like,
changing a tire is hard, I'll give him that, but I'm also just like, he's like, oh, I have no cardio and no physical, like, oh, it's not that hard. It's also not that hard to change a tire,
like, especially in a car like that that'd have like a pure belter of a jack, you know. It's
precisely. But Seth makes things slightly better while he's trying to change the tire, saying to Ryan, when I was younger, I was a worrier, and like what I would do to distract myself from worrying was make lists. It doesn't matter what the list is, it could be a list of anything, but it helps. It helps you stop worrying about things. And Ryan really quite cutely is like, do you want to make, shall we make a list, Seth? And Seth's like, yeah, I mean, cool, whatever. I mean, we don't have to, but like, you know, if you want to, yeah, sure, let's go.
Yeah.
But it's quite nice because it's clearly what Seth needs in that moment.
Yeah.
It's also more importantly what Ryan needs in that moment, a distraction. I feel this is, we should have pointed this out earlier, it's fireworks night in the UK.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
So if you can hear lots of banging in the background of my recording, it's because there's lots of fireworks going off.
Yeah.
So sorry about that.
I'm the same. There's lots of fireworks and there's lots of rustling because I've got a particularly stubborn packet of Colin caterpillars that are refusing to come out of the bag.
Just pretend it's a firework.
Oh, do you know what? I absolutely hate that because there was a kid in my class today who was trying to eat discreetly, but it was all that like rustle, 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 and I was just like, take your fucking sweets out of your pocket and just eat them in front of me if you're going to continue doing that, because it's, I
did
hate
you actually
it. I hate it. This was at like 3:20, and she was like, no, I can wait until the end. I was like, okay, because I'd like, I hate that noise. Like, furtive rustling is like the stuff of nightmares.
Jane's trigger noise, furtive rustling.
It's like, you know, in Napoleon Dynamite when he eats the like potato tots out the pocket of his combat trousers, and he's like, he takes it out and then he looks to see if anyone's looking, and he's like, I hate sneaky eating.
What's like, wrong? I quite like a sneaky eat.
No, just do it. Though I don't know what really like. Yeah, really.
I can't think of an occasion anymore that would ever have to sneaky eat. I can just eat loud and proud, but like, yeah, especially at like uni under the desk, a wee.
Oh no!
Or like you put a crisp in your mouth and you have to let it dissolve or get soft before you chew it. So you would always get quavers because they're quite good. They just like dissipate.
Quavers, Watsits, yeah.
Watsits.
Snack of dreams. Yeah. But yeah, so they decide to make a list, and this is a good list because they decide to make a list of everyone that Ryan's punched. And it goes a little something like, look.
Then look.
Look again.
Yeah.
Holly's dad.
Look again. It was quite nice though because it was like loads of lovely throwbacks again to like season one. Do you think they had feedback at this point that everybody resoundingly knew season one was the best season
maybe,
and that's why they keep like, because like they've never really mentioned, they mentioned Oliver, remember when they're in the pool?
Yeah,
is that when I can't remember, anyway they're in the pool,
that was when like the Marissa was saying her goodbyes, remember? Like when she was going to go, so they mentioned Oliver, and then they obviously we got Luke's brothers and his gay dads, but
they don't really mention the past terribly often at all.
No.
And it's only really in this episode that they go hard on it, because you've got like the beach house where Ryan took Seth to the beach, to Holly's beach party, and then like school, and then like the model home, and then Tijuana.
Yeah, there's a lot of throwbacks, which is nice.
It is.
And then we cut to Taylor and Summer, who are looking for pancakes in the attic. God knows how
I
got
there. I have no... This is stupid. First of all, see if something bad or scary is happening. Don't go into the attic and don't go into the basement and don't answer the door. Yeah. Have you ever seen a horror movie? Come on now.
Yeah, they never end well, do they? But yeah, basically go up and they absolutely shit themselves because they see a skeleton.
I absolutely shat myself.
Yes, yeah,
but so I think I shat myself because I was writing something down and they screamed, and that's what scared me. It wasn't the skeleton, it was them screaming that I was like, whoa!
But yeah, it turns out it's Uncle Alistair, who's Dr. Roberts' like med school skeleton. Then we go off, obviously, Taylor turns it back to herself and she's like to Summer, oh, you're such a good mum, like my mum hasn't even called me. And Summer's just a bit like, look, you've got us now, like we're your family, you need to make your own family.
Yeah.
And then it turns out the pancakes are strapped in the vent.
In the air vent. I don't know how. How would it vertically?
Yeah.
Stupid script writing. Then it's at this point there is an aftershock where, you know, there's a little mini earthquake.
How triggering is that, Heather? You're not back in the garage, tanning a blue aftershock? Do you remember those?
Aftershock, blue aftershock.
Yeah. You've never drank aftershock. You must be kidding.
Oh, yeah, but
red aftershock, blue aftershock, purple aftershock.
Hold the line, please, caller.
I'm worried you're going to Google and then be very triggered. Oh, Heather. This is like a garage classic.
Aftershock drink. That's what I'm after. It comes up.
Yeah. Tastes kind of like mouthwash.
Oh, I have had that. It tastes like cinnamon.
Oh. Yeah, you get the red one, that's cinnamon. The blue one's just basically mouthwash. I think there's
Oh, there's five varieties. Red cinnamon.
There's a green
blue
one.
Cool citrus. Mm-hmm. Black spiced berries.
Tick.
Orange fizzy.
Black aftershock. Holy
orange
shit.
Fizzy orange. And silver, which is a combination of apples and Red Bull. God, I can't imagine anything worse.
Yep. Had them all except the orange
People
one.
People also ask, does aftershock still exist?
What's the answer?
A favourite amongst amateur drinkers. Aftershock liqueur is best taken in shot form and has a tendency to turn the worst of worst gatherings into the best parties ever.
What great marketing. Yeah, great right, marketing. Heather, me and you in the garage on Christmas Eve.
Drinking our aftershock.
See if they still do aftershock.
God, how to look old in one easy lesson. Go up and ask for an aftershock.
An aftershock.
You need to drink tequila. That's what all the kids are drinking these days.
No, it's the rosé tequila.
Rosé, that's it. Close. Close enough.
It's too sickening. It kind of tastes like Bailey's, I feel. Do you know what we should do for one of our episodes? We should do a drunk cast where we just get like loaded up on White Zinfandel, Aftershock, all the other
Goldschlager,
apple sours, yeah.
Go old school. Maybe get a jelly shot or two.
Yeah, some Smirnoff Ice. Cardi Breezers.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
But I can feel the hangover and the headache with all that sugar.
Sure, great, okay, yeah. Oh yeah, Heather's up in Glasgow this weekend, and you know, she's got her dress fitting, and then she needs to go and get shit faced on things she drank when she was 19 with Jane. Great.
Oh my god, can we have a garage night out? You've got a pal that can let us in.
We could get in for free. Do you know that is the only perk about being old, is like you never have to pay to get in anywhere anymore because you know someone that works there. Pretty handy. Yeah,
no, I'm not worried about getting in for free. I'm just worried about getting in at all because we'll be like the oldest people there.
We'll be shuffled upstairs. So I'm only going to the attic though. I'm not going anywhere else.
Yeah, oh no, like we ever would.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, okay. So there's an aftershock of the earthquake. And obviously it absolutely scuppers the changing of the tire.
Pancake runs away. So it's scuppered getting pancakes.
Kirsten's clinging to a pillar and then has a dramatic fall and Sandy can't see her. She's on the ground and something isn't right. Yeah, pretty scary.
Yeah. I'm very conflicted by this because I feel like they've raised an issue that they didn't know that they were raising, which is that a lot of the time pregnant women specifically aren't heard by their doctors. And that when they, because like, you know, we as human beings, we know our bodies, we know when something's right, we know when something's not right, we know when something doesn't feel right. And a lot of the time, particularly pregnant women are told like, oh, you know, just calm down, or yeah, the classic, just calm down. And this is like really falling into that territory without knowing that it is. The acting's terrible though.
Yeah, never been pregnant, would one day like to be, but the thought of like having another human being inside you, I think I'd be like walking about in a sleeping bag like some cotton wool, like oh fuck, like what if I, the thought of like doing any exercise or anything, it's going to take me a long time to get my head
around. Like Charlotte in Sex and the City when she doesn't want to run after she's had her miscarriage and then she finds out she's pregnant with her baby and she doesn't want to go running and everyone's like, no, you need to, like you've always ran, like you need to kind of embrace that fear.
Scary.
Moving on. Seth and Ryan are stranded because the jack's obviously dropped and it's broken. The axle? The wheel? I don't know, something like that.
I know, something's broken.
Seth has decided to go on foot and he promises to Ryan that he'll come back as soon as he can, but Ryan is like, nah.
No.
You are not. I don't trust you. I'm going to come with you. So they continue making this list. Tree. Old chalk.
Lengthy Volchok period.
And then he's like, Johnny's, oh, I don't know who's next. Yeah, it's like, unless you punch Chili or Johnny, I know a lot of people were rooting for that. Again, is that like a blatant reference to the fact that nobody liked Johnny?
Yeah, most probably. And then it's like Johnny's dad. It turned out he's like, he was a bounty hunter, and Seth's like, what?
It's nice. So he's like helping him hobble along the road.
Yeah.
Which is when we cut to Kirsten. She's the first one to make it to A&E. It's obviously absolutely swamped. And the doctor's kind of not really having any of it. He's very much just like, fill out this form, wait your turn. Sandy lets him know that like she's pregnant. And he asks like, oh, is there any bleeding? And she says no, but something doesn't feel right. And he at that is like, well, join the queue.
Cool. Yeah. And then good old Richard White gives up his spot. Guy's sitting in a neck brace. He's like, oh, she can go instead of me. And then conveniently, Richard White gets called and Kirsten gets seen to.
What a guy. What a guy. Yeah. Although white pretty person privilege is
so much. I was quite surprised that Sandy actually like felt like he was the man of the people, like, privilege a wee bit. Yeah,
but
like,
then he does that sometimes. He's all the man of the people until, you know, his big Land Rover or, you know, his big fancy house.
Well, champagne socialist over there.
Precisely.
The novelty of being trapped in an ice cream store is starting to wear off as they're out of candles and the ice cream is melting. And they're like, oh, we're going to get washed out to sea. And Julie's like, look, I'm going up to have a look. There's got to be some way around this.
Yeah. I'm your mother and it's my job to figure it out.
Yeah.
To which Gary. There's also a character called Gary Tank Commander.
Tank Commander,
and
it's
all I can think of. Gary. Gary says you can't do that because he's having an asthma attack. Mm-hmm. Now, I have asthma. Oh. It ain't easy being wheezy. And I hated it at school specifically when other people would be like, I can't do PE. I have asthma because I actually have asthma and it makes me more determined to do shit because I don't like being told I can't do shit. And see people that use it as an excuse, it kills me. But this is even worse because you don't even fucking have asthma. You just is trying to distract people. Yeah. And then Julie, this is such a weird scene. So he's lying on the counter. He's lying on the counter having a full asthma attack. And then Julie's singing Night Moves in the background. Yep. And then Caitlin decides that he needs CPR. He doesn't do CPR, and CPR is very dangerous to do to people, like, for laws. Yeah, 100%. And then Caitlin goes to give him mouth to mouth, and he tongues her. Just there and then. Tongues her. And she's appalled.
Turns out Caitlin's his crush. Yeah. Yeah. So how did you not see that one coming, girls?
Come on, like.
Now. So we're back at the Roberts, and the boys aren't back. Pancakes is lost. There's no radio. There's loads of broken glass. So what do? We crawl in the vent.
So stupid. And I also just don't believe this of Summer. So basically they're like still looking for Pancakes. And Taylor's like, look, we need to address the elephant in the room. The boys aren't back. Like, how are you not scared? Yeah. Why are you so focused on Pancakes? And Summer's just like, because I'm absolutely terrified. But if I just focus on one thing at a time, you know? And then there's like this loud smash downstairs, at which point Summer decides to hide in the vent. And I was just like, Summer Roberts would not do that. That's so out of character.
Nah, it really is. So yeah, then we cut back to Julie and Caitlin are rightly raging at Gary. And he's like, oh, you just like, you come in, you just get your ice cream, you ignore me all the time. And she's like, look, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean to make you feel that way. And she's quite good considering someone has just kissed her against her will and she thought she was trying to save his life.
Do you not think this had a whiff of the Summer and Seth vibes about it? Yeah. Especially when he's like, I felt like it was fake. I didn't want it to end.
Yeah, and they're like, what do you mean we didn't want it to end? And then Frank comes like rushing in and him and Julie have this big romantic embrace and it turns out like the pier's totally fine and he's just made it up.
Yeah. I did have images of like Frank hijacking a rowing boat and like rowing out to this bit of the pier and like, you know, climbing up. That's not what happened.
Nah. But yeah, they're saved. Back to the hospital, it turns out that the baby is under stress, whatever that means, and they have to run some tests. So yeah, it's looking a bit grim over at the hospital.
Seth and Ryan are still walking. Seth keeps asking all these questions, trying to like keep him awake. Seth is really stepping up here.
Yeah, he's definitely getting better. And oh, I loved all this. So they start like having a little bit of question, like, who do you think's the better? And it's like totally ridiculous. It's like, oh, who do you think's the better food server, Chloe or Donnie? And then it's, I'll let you see where Chloe's from.
From Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's actually quite interesting because loads of the stuff they're talking about, I'm like, oh my God, that's practically describing the next phase of this podcast. Thanks, Seth.
Yeah. So Chloe or Donnie, who shot Luke, and Ryan's like, Chloe, and it's like, who would you have on a desert island, like Sadie or Lindsay? And Ryan's just like, right, okay, I'm in a lot of pain. This is bringing up all my exes are like way more painful.
Yeah.
So they kind of sit by the side of the road and Seth's like, look, I'm going to go, but I'll come back. And then he runs off and like Ryan's just invisible agony, isn't he?
Yeah.
It was like, bang.
Sorry, so like, many fireworks going
it's
off
just
here.
Fireworks. Sorry. have you got bullet over there, Heather?
Bang. I don't... No, just lots of fireworks. Sorry, guys.
I'm at the back of the house and I can't really hear many, but I think there'll be more like out the front.
I don't think it would matter. It feels like we're in a war zone in our house tonight.
Oh, pal.
It's fine. I quite like fireworks and the cat doesn't care. She's pretty chill about it. So it's all good.
Oh, good. That's the main thing.
Yeah. Taylor and Summer. Taylor's loaded up a flare gun. It's Jimmy's flare gun that she found in the cupboard. Sure. Sure.
How much is like Taylor drunk on power meth?
Oh man, it's the fact she's like, I just like, love the way I can feel it, hold it in my hands. Like,
yeah, you're... so weird.
But the noise is coming from the kitchen, so obviously they go downstairs. Taylor like shoots into the kitchen, and obviously it's Taylor's mum who she's accidentally shot in the foot. Shot the flare gun at her foot. Flare guns are really big. Like, see the firework they put off. Like, that was tiny. I'm like.
Yeah, compared to, I was like, surely she cannot, like, shoot that in the house. Like, yeah.
If she shot it in the house, like, Veronica would have been going up in flames. Like, the whole kitchen would have gone up in flames.
Totally. So, it turns out it was Veronica, and she's basically been worried about Taylor, and she's like, oh my god, I'm going to have to see a plastic surgeon to, like, sort out her toe. And then it turns out that Pancakes
what
is
happens
also
when it gets
like
to Sando season?
Yeah. Pancakes is also hurt, and Summer's like, look, I'm going for help. So then they hatch this, they've not got a car, so they put Veronica and Pancakes into, like, a little trailer, and then attach that to a bike, and it is quite comical, actually, because we've just seen Veronica is this total ice queen bitch, and she looks really vulnerable. And like, I quite like what they did with her in this episode.
Yeah, they did, she did threaten to make Pancake into a vest, though.
Yeah,
it's kind of gross. She's not fully reformed.
She's not going to change overnight. But yeah, we're back at the shop, in the ice cream shop, and Gary's really trying to appeal to Caitlin, and he's like, "Look, I'm sorry." No, he's like, I'm not sorry. He attempts to apologise and he's like, actually, I'm not sorry. This has been the best day of my life. She's like, lol. And she's like, look, your new makeover is kind of working for you.
Is it though?
No.
Is it though?
They took his glasses off. Like, that's all that happened. They took his little hat off.
Took his hat off, took his glasses off, and that's it.
Like, uniform, yeah. But she was like, oh, once everything's sorted out, I'll stop by. She gives him a little peck on the cheek and he's just standing there like, ooh. Sandy's at the hospital and he's sort of pressurising, putting pressure on the doctor, like, how are the tests? And she's just like, look, it's too soon. And he's like, look. And then this was weird, right? I don't know how you feel about this, but he was like, oh, please let me know. He explains the situation. He's like, oh, our boys are going off to college, got an empty nest. Like, this is a big thing for us. Please do anything to save this baby. But I want to know before you tell my wife.
So that I can
break it to her. It's like, it's her body. It's her, yeah.
Just, you have no right to know that knowledge before she does.
And the doctor looks rightfully, like, apprehensive. And yeah.
Yeah. I get that he's worried and he wants to protect his wife, but sometimes in life there's situations you can't protect people from.
Yeah, it's something they'll go through together. Support her.
All you can do is be there for them.
Yeah, and I think if I was in that situation... And Stephen was coming to me to be like, by the way,
I spoke with the doctor.
Ah, it's like,
can
no, the
you
doctor
imagine?
Should, yeah, the doctor speaks to you both. But anyway, but the next scene, we've got our good pal Daryl's back again.
Daryl.
He's been getting, yeah, like Daryl and Holly have been
those
getting like,
fireworks are unbelievable.
Jesus.
I'm
that
so
must
sorry.
Be the grand finale.
It's maybe a bit a minute.
Do you know what it sounds like when you're making microwave popcorn? And you think it's done, and then it's like...
Brrr. There's another one, yeah. Right. Yeah. I think we're done.
Okay. So then our fave guy is back, Daryl. And he's like, I don't know, like all the homeless people are out, and he's got a... Seth's like, oh, Daryl, how you doing? And he was like, look, can I have your shopping trolley? And Daryl's a bit like, and he's like, I
Poor
will give you.
Daryl.
Yeah.
Her Daryl is literally like, the shopping trolley is my only worldly possession.
Man. Yeah, but Seth's like, look, I'll give you a 70 grand car if you give me the car, like just now. And he's like, yep, yeah, okay. So they exchange car keys, exchange the car, and Seth sets off on his way.
Yeah.
And then Summer actually takes. Sorry, that's
a
just.
A rodent. Takes a rodent into a hospital.
When I think about the. what happened to my gran last night and that she was literally in hospital for 7 hours as an 87-year-old woman with a head injury, and Summer has taken a rabbit to the hospital. Like, get a grip. How privileged can you be?
I know private healthcare is, like, whack, but, like...
Come on.
If it doubles up as veterinary... It's so stupid. It's also, I just don't think Summer would do that either.
Yeah.
Like, I know previously she was a bit of a princess, but it's like, she's
grown. She's matured. Yeah. But yeah. And the guy actually entertains her. He's like, oh, I did a bit of veterinary in my first year.
As if that doctor wouldn't be like, get that fucking rat with a cute outfit out of my emergency room immediately.
Yeah. With then Julie, Frank and Caitlin are in the car and they're sort of just having a wee bit of a chat, and they're like, Frank says something, oh, when a guy gets crazy about a woman, like, sense goes out the window. And Caitlin's basically like, when a girl really doesn't like a guy, like, the same thing happens. Yeah. And she apologizes for the clown porn. And they all have a bit of a laugh about it.
Basically, she says that the clown porn she found in Dr. Robert's study, and you can see Julie looks like appalled and shocked. And then she's like, oh my God, you guys would believe anything. I love Caitlin. She is one of my two favorite characters. She's good.
She's definitely got better, hasn't she? But conveniently, they drive past Seth and they pull over to come to the rescue.
Yeah. Do you know I don't even know, I can't remember if we mentioned it or not, the reason that they ended up breaking down in the middle of nowhere is because Seth decided to take a shortcut to the hospital. Don't take a shortcut to the hospital, take the route you know. Can't believe we have to say that. If you're in an emergency situation, don't test out this imaginary shortcut you think you know. It's so stupid. Nah.
Yeah, so they go over to rescue Seth, and then we cut to the hospital and we've got Taylor and Veronica having this sort of like quite nice, like this tender moment. It's a wee bit of almost a wee bit of closure for Taylor, because she's obviously been dealing with a lot of these issues surrounding her mum. They both exchange sorries and Taylor's like, look, I love you, and her mum's like, I love you too. And it turns out like she's never actually heard her mum say that to her.
Yeah.
And Veronica's like, look, I'm so sorry. When this happened, all I've been doing is thinking about you. Like, I've been such a bad mum. And then they just, obviously Taylor's so forgiven because all she's ever wanted is her mum's approval. And they just like sort of hug it out. And it's quite cute. And I also like how, like in the next scene, I like how it all turns out. But basically they all end up at the hospital, don't they?
Yeah. Do you know what I really loved about that Veronica and Taylor moment is Taylor, after she says, I know we don't get along, but I really love you. There's such a long pause before Veronica says it back.
Yeah.
Like, it's very well done.
Yeah, it really is.
Ryan's made it to the hospital, finally.
At first I was like, oh fuck, are we in another alternative universe? Like, I couldn't remember how this is. I was like, oh, no.
What happens now?
Yeah. But yeah, he's fine. And it turns out that him and Seth are now blood brothers, as they're both O negative. They were short in blood and Seth donated. All too convenient.
Good on you. Good on you, Seth.
And then Ryan gets all funny again. He's like, oh, I've got this strange urge to read comic books and listen to Deathcat. Whoa, that was good. I like that.
And then Seth, again, like another like nod to like the fact the series is ending, the fact there's been criticism. Yeah. He says, oh, that's funny, because a body swap comedy, we could have squeezed another couple of years out of this.
Yeah.
So I love it when shows self-reference. I just think it's really funny.
It's good. But he basically says, look, you've saved me loads. So this was my turn. And all's good. The baby's fine. And it's a she. They're having a little girl.
Yeah. So, yeah. They turn up. Kirsten's barely got a scratch on her head, considering the bump. And then we cut to Pancake, who's got a little bandage on his little paw. It's so cute.
It's very cute.
I know this is a lovely moment. Everyone's happy. Everyone's safe. Blah, blah, blah. There's not a chance in fucking hell that Ryan would be allowed out the hospital this quickly.
Yeah, nah. No
and
way.
Why is he having to wear scrubs? Where are his clothes?
Who knows? And I think at this point, so Veronica's got on a big like moon boot and it's doing all that, those sort of fades again. You see, it's not changing scene. They're all there, but it's basically like going in on each couple or whoever they're with. And obviously Taylor and Ryan have this big embrace and Veronica's a bit like, oh. And yeah, I think Veronica's quite shocked because she's like, oh, Taylor now has this network. And she seems to be a bit taken back. And then Caitlin's like banging with all the
banging like this.
Banging like that. about how she wants, she's taken real umbrage with Frank's hair, hasn't she? She really wants to cut it. And then Veronica's kind of like, they're all in sort of like pairs or like groups, and Veronica's kind of hobbling out
on her own
behind
in the back
them.
And crutches.
But yeah, I was actually like quite teary at this. Like, I don't know if it's just because it's all like coming to an end, but they all leave together and it is cheesy, but yeah. Yeah, and then we've got Daryl going to get his new ride.
Oh, yeah. He finds the car, opens the boot, pops his stuff in, jumps on in.
Goes for a wee snooze. Yeah.
A nice, safe, warm space for Daryl to lay his weedy head.
But sorry, how naive are these people if they think that they were going home to have showers in their own bed?
Yeah, there's literally been an earthquake. So yeah, they arrive back home, they open the door and bum, 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 the entire ceiling's caved in.
Yep. And that's where we end. The end is nigh.
The end is not near. It is here.
The end is here. Yeah. Oh.
It is here. Let's not get too emotional about it.
Not yet.
Next week. Next week's episode is going to be recorded live in front of a live studio audience at Universal Studios in Orlando, Universal Studios, Florida. That was at the end of Kenan and Kel, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Mind that show. Jeez.
I loved Kenan and Kel.
Did you like orange? Did you love orange soda?
No, I didn't, but Kel did.
Oh, wild.
Kel loved orange soda.
I do.
Okay, shall I sing Go Listen of the Week so I don't have to do it live in front of people and you have to do that?
Fuck off. Okay.
Bada bada ba, Listener of the Week. Bada 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 ba. Ba 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 ba. Ba 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 ba.
Excellent. It got a bit like you were singing Listener of the Week and like a sheep at the end. There was a lot of bass. Love it. Absolutely love it. Yes, this week's Listener of the Week goes to the lovely Emma, whose Insta handle is Bubbly Muppet. Emma contacted us back in March. She's from Texas. She started listening to the podcast at the beginning of the year. And she says she just loves it. And I love that she said, she's like, y'all so funny. And my friend Siobhan is from Texas.
Y'all
and
so
she
funny.
Says, y'all, I love it. And she was only halfway through season one at that point. But she then got back to us and she has, she's been binging. Yeah, and she said, she remembered when she watched the original episode of The Cliffhanger and she was absolutely shocked that Johnny fell and died. She was so sure Ryan was going to catch him. And yeah, he should definitely have went to therapy. No punching bag was going to work out for that.
No.
Trauma. So yes, Emma, thank you for catching up and for your lovely messages. And yeah,
thank you again, Emma. Awesome. That's a good point. Has anything happened or not happened rewatching at this time that you weren't expecting or like happened differently to how you remember it?
Despite me willing, Marissa, like not to die. you knew that was coming.
That
like,
still happened. Yeah.
Yeah. There's still things or there's things I will talk about it. I'm all watched up and my notes are all written up for Sunday.
You
I've just got a busy day tomorrow and Stephen said to me, what are you doing this weekend? And he was like, podcasting all weekend basically. And I was like, yeah.
Yep, it's a podcast heavy weekend.
Yeah. So there are, I don't know, there's some things that have been slightly, I've not been like shocked, but it's funny. I always feel like this when you, I don't know, I guess I just feel like this with all TV. Like if you heavily binge something, I feel that you're like so engrossed and wired that you don't really remember big parts of it. But then also when you're watching something on a weekly basis, which I would have done with the OC, like that's also quite difficult. So basically I don't retain any information ever. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Short-term memory has been royally fucked. Yeah, thank you, internet generation.
But no, there is. It's good when you go back and there's always... Yeah, I guess you always notice new things or you appreciate new things. And yeah, it's difficult to tell. Like, I think there's probably things now that I react to that I maybe wouldn't have reacted to. Like, we can talk about this when we watch the finale, but I'm like, oh, is that just my age that's making me react in such a way
or
things that I would find sad or upsetting that I maybe wouldn't have at like 18, 19, you know?
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, onwards to next week with our live audience. We're actually recording it
Sunday.
Not tomorrow, the next day.
2 days,
which is wild.
I'm excited, although I'm sad because that'll be the weekend over, and just now it's like
the promise of Friday night.
The promise of the weekend being upon us. And yeah. Then the next time I speak to you, the weekend will be over. Oh, dead.
Yeah.
It'll be good. I'm very excited for Sunday.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's always just, it's such a buzz, like getting to see people and chat to them in real time. And also they always give us like good facts that we're like, oh, like we didn't know that.
Feel that's like 90% of our relationship with listeners is them telling us things and be like, oh, we didn't know that.
But I remember like listening to you and Kerry, and sometimes I'd be in the car and I'd be like shouting at the radio like, you guys, it's this. Like this.
It's this, but
yeah.
One.
Yeah, I know, I'm excited. I don't even know, Heather's been handling the tickets and stuff, so I don't even know like who to be expecting, but I'm hoping the usual familiar faces.
And there was loads of people I don't recognize, like names who I don't recognize.
Secret listeners? Exciting.
Yes, lots of secret listeners, lots of friendly faces. It's going to be great. I can't bloody wait.
Me neither.
Buzzing. Let's wrap this one up so we can get on to the next one.
Yeah, on to the next one. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.